Jinder Mahal.
Go back to Canada.
Kurt Angle actually said that Jinder is one of his favorite wrestlers right now.
Well, Kurt needs to go back and have his brain scanned real quick to find out if there's any other concussions he doesn't know anything about. I want to see what Zane says about that, because he'll probably say the same thing I did. I don't know what to do with it.
Kevin Owens, what are you going to do with KO when he comes back?
Let's put him in the ring with Elton John at WrestleMania.
So you heard about that, huh?
Yeah, I did. let's
fill in people what happened with Kevin. He took his wife to go see Elton John in concert, but Elton John became very ill earlier this month and had to cancel the show. So KO gets on to Twitter and says that he's challenging Elton John, who's like 77 years old, to a match at WrestleMania, and that's where all that came.
No, don't give WWE any more ideas. They'll probably do it. I would rather see chimpanzees in the ring dancing to Achy Breaky Heart. If I was just getting their next pay-per-view. Yeah.
And then finally, the Universal Champion.
You know, they have medicine for that now.
Yeah, it is cold and flu season. Mr. Lesnar,
yep.
What would you do with Brock Lesnar?
5 to 10 years in the state penitentiary, if it's possible, for dressing like a universal champion and never showing up. And I don't know what to do with Brock. Money hungry, egotistical, self-centered. No, I don't want him. I don't want him. No, I tell him to go home.
What? How can you explain the pop he gets when he comes in? And he shows up about what, right before pay-per-views, comes in, showing off his Jimmy John's trunks, which, you know, I like the number 4 with extra, little extra mayonnaise there. There are people like us, there are people all over the internet that just lambast this guy, don't want him around, don't care to see him anymore, but evidently he is doing something for the WWE that we don't see. What is it?
Well, you said a big pop. I'll tell you how he gets the big pop. They pipe it into the arenas, and I bet you they pipe in the reaction on TV.
I say with no Paul Heyman, you don't have a Brock Lesnar.
All Brock has to do is stand there, jump back and forth, and smile if he does that. Raw is just, it's like looking at a bowl of soup and finding out that. Remember the episode of the Three Stooges where Curly has the clams and he puts the little cracker in there and he tries to get it, and the clam grabs it. That's what it's like watching Raw. It's like, I'm going to see something good. Nope. Guess not. No.
That roster, that locker room back there, that is some of the most talented men and women that Monday Night Raw has ever seen. And you've got no idea what to do with it. Here's an example. You've got a tag team, an amazing tag team like the Revival, who should be competing for the Raw Tag Team titles, and you've got them in Lucha House Rule matches. What is the Lucha House Rule match? I don't even understand. Or how about we have more segments with urination in them, huh? Ha 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 ha. So funny, so cutting edge.
And the Monday night after TLC, the McMahon family got involved.
Well, we're out here tonight because we haven't been doing a very good job for you lately. We haven't been doing the one thing that my father has always taught us to do, and that's listen to our audience. We've let middle managers air their petty grievances. We've been suffocating our superstars, and all of that is going to change, and it starts tonight.
The days of absentee management are over. As of now, the four of us will be taking back Monday Night Raw.
And that goes for SmackDown Live as well, because the four of us are personally responsible to ensuring that all of you have the best possible experience that there is.
And as long as we give you less of what you don't want and more of what you do, WWE will always be then, now, and forever.
Promising a lot of changes for Raw and SmackDown. I will kind of believe it when I see it, to be honest with you. One change that is positive, though, Vince McMahon has announced that the WWE is getting ready to form a women's tag team division. On Edge and Christian's Pod of Awesomeness, Edge talked about the NXT call-ups that have been announced to come to the main roster. Those include Lacey Evans, Heavy Machinery, Lars Sullivan, and EC3. Ed says he is a big fan of Ethan Carter III and compared him to a young John Cena. Mustafa Ali has been moved up to the SmackDown roster. Impact Wrestling is on the move again. It looks like Impact Wrestling is going to be leaving Pop TV and will be going on a channel called the Pursuit Channel. And wedding bells for a couple of wrestlers over the holiday weekend. It was Sarah Logan of the Riot Squad marrying NXT star Raymond Rowe of the War Raiders. And the mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush got hitched in Las Vegas during the holidays. He tweeted out with some pictures that he just got married to the love of his life and also his best friend.
I need to talk to you about TLC. Get it? All in all, it was pretty good. You know, what was your favorite match?
I would say Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles.
Well, I thought that women's championship match was really good, but I also liked the Intercontinental Championship match. I thought was pretty, you know, I wasn't like the Intercontinental Championship match wasn't like a big jaw-dropping one.
Well, the crowd really wasn't into it, though. Did you notice
that?
Yeah,
the crowd was a little bored with it.
Yeah, they started chanting, "This is boring," and then they started chanting for Becky Lynch. And
yeah, I'm a little surprised at that. I mean, it did have pretty good pace. I think it was just because of the lack of story and the lack of build to the match.
And I think that's one of the problems we're having right now with the WWE having so many events on the network. There is very little time to really set up a storyline to where people are excited to say.
What did you think of that tag team match, the triple threat match between The Bar and the Usos and the New Day?
Three pro professional teams. I thought it went off very well.
I'm going to start on The Bar. The Bar and the New Day were kind of stole the show. The Usos were kind of off in left field for most of the match.
Yeah, they were, but yeah, you know, as much as I've complained about the New Day and getting a little tired of their stick, those guys perform, man. I tell you what, they do a great job when they get into the ring.
And, you know, I'm glad to see them mixing up. For so long, it was just Kofi and Big E, and I was glad to see Kofi and Xavier Woods doing a couple things this time, too.
So the Bar is still the champions, though, right?
The Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin thing, that was kind of hokey.
Yeah, it was. But
I mean, everybody got their high spots and whatever, but it was.
It was kind of like a thing with Braun coming out, and he really wasn't to perform yet with all the changes that the McMahon said that were going to happen. So they had to do something to get rid of the constipated Baron Corbin for Monday night, so he would lose his job and they wouldn't rehire him as the general manager. So I understood the way they did it, but I got to say this. Heath Slater, I'm glad they're giving him a little bit of a chance again. So
Finn Balor defeats Drew McIntyre. That's a pretty good match, too.
Yeah, it was.
But I need to talk to, I know I've asked you before, what's the deal with him and Dolph aren't friends anymore?
You could see Drew over the weeks. He kept on saying, you know, you better win. And then they had the Braun Strowman with the three of them. And who was the weak link? And all of a sudden, Drew just attacked Dolph right after they lost the tag team. Dolph had come in and helped Finn Balor win a match. Then backstage, they were interviewing Finn. And Dolph says, yeah, you can thank me for your win tonight. And And then they got into it backstage, and that's why they decided to do this this three-way. So they split up and put some face heat onto Dolph Ziggler, but he still acts like a heel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got the attitude. He's the attitude face. He's not the good face, but he's the attitude face.
He's like an anti-hero.
He's kind of like an I don't think we've ever said that before, have we?
Yeah. Natalya versus Ruby Riott. Was it okay match?
Uh-huh.
That was kind of a strange, kind of a stupid build, too. Like, Ruby Riott breaks Jim Neidhart's sunglasses, and she's all, like, sad. It's like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like, come on. You're sad over her breaking your dad's sunglasses. It's like...
And then having Jim Neidhart on his whole body pasted on one of the tables, I thought was kind of unusual. But
two veterans that are still Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton going toe-to-toe. I mean...
Wasn't that fun?
You know, I mean, Rey's got to be pushing 50, isn't he?
I think he's in his late 40s, if I'm not mistaken.
And man, that guy can move. And we've seen him live in Salt Lake. Him and remember when he went against Martin Casals and Los Mochis Paco in Salt Lake?
And the spot I liked, there was two spots I really liked in that match, is when Rey grabbed a hold of the chair and he started running across the ring and used it like a surfboard to go through.
That was awesome.
That was sure a fun spot.
Yeah. And I loved there was that spot on the outside of the ring where he just like he puts the chair down and then he pushes Randy Orton onto the chair and he's like sitting there and he's just beating the crap out of him while he's sitting in the chair. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just classic.
And then right after he was beating on him, he gets up on the ring apron and runs and he jumps and Randy moves.
Yes.
And I don't know how Rey kept from breaking a hip when he hit that chair. He hit it hard. That chair was destroyed.
I mean, you know, I was watching Rey Mysterio when I was a teenager. We're going on probably close to 20 years that Rey's been in doing things.
Well, you remember when Rey went to WCW and that famous spot with Kevin Nash where Kevin threw him into the trailer, just literally threw him. Rey was not much older than you at that time. He started professional wrestling in the San Diego and Mexico. I think he was 14, maybe 15.
Wow.
And then you think Randy Orton, he's been around for years and years, but you got to remember when he was with, what was it, Evolution?
Mm-hmm.
And he became the youngest heavyweight champion of all time. He was just barely 22, I think, when he won that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're saying, you know, he's been around a long time, his success, both of their success, came at a very early age. So they are still relatively young men.
Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax, I guess it was an okay match. I mean.
Well, I'm going to give the Rowdy one a little bit of plug here. Her in-ring work is really improved over the last 8 months. And some of her mic work has improved too.
Well, you know, when I watched a video of her right when she got – they didn't officially announce that she had signed with WWE, but I know she had been in the Performance Center training. And there's an early video of her hitting the ropes and doing some moves, and she looked really good. All the UFC and all that crap aside, to perform in front of a WWE crowd, even if she, you know, because they're not going to release you to go on to Raw or something like that if you can't handle yourself in the ring.
Exactly.
But I'll bet you she was so stinking nervous that she was stiffer than hell. I love that little bit of backstage segment when Nia Jax comes walking back and Becky Lynch like socks her right in the face.
You know, there's still a lot of payback that the WWE can do from that time with Nia Jax and Becky Lynch. They can still explore.
The next match was Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. And, you know, dude, I swear on my life, has AJ Styles ever put on a mediocre match?
No.
It doesn't matter if he's wrestling live, if he's wrestling on Raw, if he's wrestling in WrestleMania, TNA, New Japan, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He makes his opponent look so good. like if you were to say somebody that can do everything in the ring, I'm going with AJ Styles because he is the best.
He is my favorite performer as of right now. I've been an AJ Styles fan since watching TNA.
And then we kind of already talked about this match, the Dean Ambrose defeats Seth Rollins.
But there's one thing.
Do we need to cover this? You need to try harder on this. Do you think Seth Rollins was inebriated during the match?
Ooh, that was really bad, man.
Or
I think he probably needed some more help.
You're just hyperextending the jokes way too much.
Ah, man. Yeah.
It just goes to show you that we need to try harder.
23 times in about 6 minutes of action, the announce team talked continuously about Seth Rollins' old knee injury.
I just texted you a little bit ago, and I was like, how many freaking times do they have to mention his knee? Like, we need to discuss for a moment commentary. The commentators they have right now, I'm sorry, they suck. Michael Cole needs to move the hell on. He is so bad. He has never been that great either. And I don't know why they need three announcers, because they always talk over Renee Young. I mean, she can't get a sentence in before somebody cuts her off, and so I don't understand why she's even there. Tom Phillips is pretty good if the other two will shut up and let him. He's definitely not Marl Rinaldo, though.
There's something what you said when you're talking about a three-man announcing team. And I'm talking from experience here, because I have done sports several years in my radio career. It is so difficult to have three people trying to get in their thoughts, especially if you have someone who won't shut the you-know-what up. Sometimes a three-person announce team is just too much.
Good old JR with his, you know, we're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned slobber knocker tonight, or good old-fashioned barn burner. You know, all those silly little JR things that he would say were just so good.
And that's what I like about NXT.
Marl Rinaldo.
Rinaldo. Okay. If you listen to his commentary when he's on NXT, the one that just cracked me up, it was one of the last takeover. Something happened and he goes, "Holy bleep!" And then you're hearing the crowd going, "Mamma mia!" When he's going to be doing it, you'll hear the crowd say "Mamma Mia," because he is finding these little catchphrases that are his. It's such a shame that when he was on SmackDown, something happened between himself and JBL, and he actually quit the WWE for quite a while before they gave him this job at NXT, and he is knocking it out of the park there.
I noticed through the whole entire pay-per-view that the commentary was just not there. And I thought, you know, it's amazing how when you're not there live and when you're watching a match on pay-per-view or on television, how much of a difference a good commentary team can make or break a match.
You can add so much in storytelling if you call the match correctly.
Yeah.
And that is the storytelling aspect. Whether somebody was in Renee's ear and Corey's ear and Michael's ear telling them to talk about that knee injury, and every time something would happen, oh, his knee gave way. But they need to slow it the heck down.
You see what you did again there, Dave?
I did it on purpose, you know.
Oh, man. I know. You're
they need guy. To, yeah.
Oh, but Seth Rollins' knee, oh my gosh.
Oh, no. There's more to the storytelling than saying, oh, they have a bad knee. Their ribs are injured. Why did they get injured, and how are they compensating for that injury? That's the storytelling of the match. But they just go, oh, his knee gave way again. You know, he injured it 4 years ago when it gave way in with a similar, look at him. He goes, his knee just buckled again. I'm so tired of that. This whole year, almost every pay-per-view that's happened. But what did you think of that women's championship match with Asuka, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair?
There's something to be said about the progress in the women's wrestling. You know, everybody talks about the pioneers of the women's movement, and, you know, the Attitude Era with Trish Stratus and Lita and Beth Phoenix and, you know, some of these ones that have been there for a long time. And, you know, I wonder what it would have been like with them now. You know, number one, a women's ladder match. I mean, 20 years ago, been like, hey, you know what we should do is get a bunch of women wrestlers together and have them beat the hell out of each other and try to get a belt off of a ladder. They'd be like, oh, whoa, 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 that's a man's game, you know. We got a good – the women are just here to show off their bras and panties, you know.
Yeah, that's what I've been like back then, so.
And think of the progress that's been made. And I think how awesome that is that the women now – they headlined a major pay-per-view event. I think it's pretty cool, man.
I do, too. I'm going to give us a pat on the back, the entire Turnbuckle Trash family here. For the past year, how often have we said Becky Lynch needs to get the push? How often have you said it? How often has Chris said it? How often have I said it? She is the hottest commodity in wrestling today.
Yeah, I
agree. I think we saw that possibility 2 years ago, and the WWE writers just came around to that.
2 years ago, it was Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks was the big thing, and I don't think that she has the flair.
Oh, that's almost as bad as knees. We're bad, man.
That was terrible. And you know, and I never would have thought Asuka would have been in when she first came. I was like, what? They weren't using her very well at all. You know, it almost looked like she was limited in the ring when she first started. You know,
I think she probably was, yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you're seeing her do more moves and more things instead of just the strikes and the Japanese style. And
you know, I'm going to make the statement here, and this is nothing but a compliment for the ladies. They are beautiful women, but they are also tough as nails, and you know what? They perform in the ring, and I'm so glad they're getting the recognition they're getting right now. And I said because they're beautiful, but they're tough as nails. I think that means a lot because the Attitude Era, they were just eye candy, the biggest majority of them. You've got Tessa Blanchard and Blanchard Impact Wrestling as their champion right now. And you've got Kelly Klein and ROH. Very, very good performers everywhere. And I think the women's movement is here. And right now it's the hottest thing going. And Zane, I'll tell you this. Don't be surprised. WrestleMania, headline match, women's match.
Who's it going to be?
Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey.
Hmm.
Don't be surprised.
Do you think they'll make it a triple threat and throw a Flair in there too? Or?
Oh, they probably will. They might make it a fatal four-way, you know?
Yeah.
They could come up with the four competitors, and it wouldn't bother me none. It could even be the four horsewomen of MMA. Now, think about this. Mm-hmm. Shayna Baszler and NXT and the other two, I just can't remember their name. They were all MMA. They ran with Ronda Rousey, called themselves the Four Horsewomen of MMA. And the Four Horsewomen in wrestling, you've got Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. When they were all in NXT, they ran as a faction like that. Hmm. That could happen.
I think it would be awesome.
Let's get started about The Miz, my man.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I'll just try and take over the world.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.com.
One of our favorite tag teams, I know, the Briscoe Brothers. They've got big news. What's going on with the Briscoes in ROH?
Well, it's amazing that the Briscoe brothers are now in the history books for being the 10-time Ring of Honor tag team champions. They give it all in the ring. Blood, every last drop of blood they have done it in the ring. And
now it's Jay that's been the Ring of Honor world champion, and Mark is the one that lost his front teeth during the wrestling match, and he's got that big old bushy beard. But that man is eat up in ugly. You know what I'm talking about?
Even my roommate, she goes, "Who is that?" I said, "Well, it's Mark Briscoe." She goes, "Well, dang, that could be one of your cousins." I just looked at her, "What are you doing? How did you go there?" My gosh. I thought, look, yes, I'm from Tennessee, but we don't do that. Come on. I mean, I've got a couple of cousins that may somewhat look like that, but their teeth are there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was funny, but I thought, my gosh, I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. What did you think about the TLC pay-per-view?
It was not that good. I mean, I wasn't really impressed. The only thing that really impressed me was the SmackDown Women's Championship was about the best match, and Daniel Bryan's match was good. But the rest of it, it didn't turn my head. It didn't make me go, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to see Raw or SmackDown.
So you didn't like the R-Truth and Carmella winning the Mixed Match Challenge?
I was shocked. They're really good together. I mean, they got that dance that looks like they've had too many vodkas.
Since they won, they get the 30th position in the Royal Rumble, each one. Plus, they get to go anywhere in the world they want to go for a vacation. And R-Truth picked Stamford, Connecticut. Go to the WWE headquarters.
He's going to go to Stamford, Connecticut and start stapling papers together.
The match with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, which Daniel won by a pinfall.
Daniel's one heck of a heel. I mean, I like him more of a heel than I do a babyface. I mean, he'll talk about vegans and he'll talk about people that eat meat, and he doesn't want the belt being on something that's made out of cow, and he thinks the leather strap, he's going to do something with it. You know how to really make a vegan upset? In the middle of the night when they're sleeping, put a half-eaten cheeseburger in their hand, and when they wake up in the morning, they'll look at it and they'll start freaking out thinking they did it. No, I'm not a member of PETA. I PETA'd out a long time ago, so no, I'm not a member.
Yeah, with the McMahon family coming back on Monday Night Raw right after TLC and saying they're taking control of what's going on with the WWE Raw and SmackDown brands, have you seen any difference yet?
No, I haven't seen a bit of difference. I mean, it's the same. It is the same thing over and over and over again. The ratings are so low right now, it's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Even Sesame Street has higher ratings than Raw does right now. Come on.
So what is your solution?
Forget the Raw general manager. Who cares? We all know there's no such thing as a Raw general manager anymore. We know who pulls the strings. Let's have Triple H just go ahead and take the whole thing over. He's done a heck of a job with NXT. Let Triple H have it and let him bury the talent himself. I mean, none of the wrestlers are happy. And a lot of people want to do like Cody Rhodes did, break off and go to the indie circuit and go to other places. That's what the problem with the WWE is right now. They can't manage talent anymore.
Which promotion has the best product out there?
Oh, wow. I'd have to say Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor and New Japan, because Chris Jericho is absolutely tearing it apart in New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. He's doing things and saying things now on there that he couldn't have got away with on today's WWE. There's just Ring of Honor is, I like them. All right, let me ask you this. Are you tired of Becky Lynch's The Man?
No. I'm not.
You like it. You like
it. I like it a lot.
I mean, she's acting like Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's already kicking people in the stomach and giving them the stunner, something to reamp her, and she's doing well. She's like she is the number one women's wrestler.
I would go on to say that she's probably the hottest thing in wrestling today, men and women.
Yes, I will admit that. You are correct. Yes, she is.
What about the twist in the TLC match when Ronda Rousey came out and she affected the outcome of that. Was that something you were expecting?
I wasn't expecting that at all. I didn't think Ronda would come out there and interfere. But when she did, I figured, okay, they're gearing up for Ronda Rousey and her and Becky to go at it, because that's what they wanted to see. I think Becky will probably go into Raw and do the same thing to Ronda Rousey, make her lose her title.
And there you have it. That's the entire year. Parts 1, 2, and 3 are available on the website or on CastBox. And coming up, we'll have an entire segment that will deal with some of our special guests, trash heads, wrestlers, and more, plus the butt fumbles of the year. And coming soon, you'll also be hearing myself, Zane, and Chris all talking about our favorite things that happened in 2018. Thanks for listening to us on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!